Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Seek, listen, obey. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Job 36:11, New Living Translation. If they listen and obey God, then they'll be blessed with prosperity throughout their lives. All their years will be pleasant.
Hallelujah.
One more. 2 Chronicles 26:5. 2 Chronicles 26:5 says in part, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Seeking means to be bold and go after it. A seeker should never be deterred by delays or detours along the way. In order to receive biblical prosperity, you've got to seek his righteousness, then all these things will be added to you. All things, including mortgage and cars being paid off, debts paid in full, and a proper retirement fund. As Christians, we must get our focus clear. I once had a lady ask me to pray with her in agreement for a new tire. I told her I would, but in a proper way. I suggested her prayer goes something like this. Father, I thank you that I have 3 good tires. I thank you that I have a car. I thank you that I have the money to buy gas and that I can use my car to drive to work, to church, and to see my family. I want to thank you, Lord, that I can drive my car along a highway without worrying about landmines or bombs exploding as I approach. I want to thank you for all you've done and in the advance that we're making. I want to thank you in advance for the new tire you're about to manifest in my life. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. How we speak, honey, is important.
That's so true.
Praise God for what he's done in his life, in your life, and what he's about to do.
That's the truth.
When David was on a routine visit to see his brothers, he offered to fight Goliath. King Saul responded by saying, "You're just a boy." David said, "Did I ever tell you about the time while tending my father's sheep, I killed a lion and a bear?" You read about it in 1 Samuel 17. The enemy may come to attack you by saying that you'll never be prosperous. Your finances will never turn around, or your marriage isn't strong enough to get through this. Stop and remind the enemy of all the things God has done in your life and all the things he's about to do.
Hallelujah. God gives us a choice. In Deuteronomy 30:15, in the New Living Translation, it says, "Now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between prosperity and disaster, between life and death." Have you ever told your children to listen to what you were about to say? Well, no doubt you wanted them to be sure that they were not only going to hear what you said, but also understand it as well. Now, think about this. Our Heavenly Father is saying, listen. Put aside all the other thoughts, conversations, activities that are going around in your head and focus on the words that I am saying in my word. Then he says, I'm going to give you a choice. Please understand that this is very important. I've taught it numerous times. Remember, prosperity is a choice. It's confirmed right here in the scripture, and God's saying, I'm giving you a choice. We will choose between prosperity and disaster. He's given us the principles. Now we've got to use them. Contemporary English version of Deuteronomy 30:15 says, today, I'm giving you a choice. You can choose life and success or death and disaster. The choice between success and prosperity or failure or lack is ours. We choose, not God. We choose. In 1 Kings 2:3, Classic Amplified, it says, observe what the Lord requires so that you may prosper. There are 7 keys to God's simple plan for success.
Number 1, dedicate everything to God. Romans 12:1 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. When we put God in first, it makes him happy. His happiness becomes our blessing. Proverbs 3:6, Living Bible. In everything you do, put God first, and he'll direct you and crown your efforts with success.
Hallelujah.
In every decision we make, put God first. We'll make a determined effort to honor God in every activity. We'll be amazed about what would happen in our lives, families, and finances.
Here's another simple rule. Number 2, give God back your first fruits. In Proverbs 3:9-10, Proverbs 3 verses 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord by giving him part of all your income, and he will fill your barns to overflowing. In Proverbs 3:10, with the Classic Amplified Bible says, so shall your storage places be filled with plenty. Storage places are what you have for your surplus. When we give God our first fruits, our tithe, we're headed toward financial surplus in our lives. We need to give to God the best of our time, our energy, our money. There's never a time that we can afford not to give. Deuteronomy 26 verse 10 says, and now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, the Lord, hast given me, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord thy God.
Number 3, save for the future. Proverbs 21:20, Living Bible. The wise man saves for the future, but the foolish spends whatever he gets. Do you know the average Japanese family saves 25% of their income? The average European family, 18% of their income. The average American saves 5%, largely because we've opted the Live for Today plan. Yes, but Brother Harold, I can't afford to save money right now. It takes everything I've got just to live on it. Here's a revelation. There will never be a good time to save. I frequently quote Ecclesiastes 11:4 with good reason. The Living Bible translation says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done.
Number 4, repay what you owe. In Proverbs 3 verse 27, we're admonished because it says, don't withhold repayments of your debts. In other words, we don't put things on credit we can't pay for. Probably shouldn't put things on credit at all. Because in Romans 13 verse 8, it says, let no debt remain outstanding. Trust God to help you climb out of the circle of debt and stay there. Ask him to break that cycle over your spending and impulse buying so that you can set your finances in proper order. You need to create a master plan for your financial future.
Number 5, practice contentment. Settle down the insanity of overstress, overcommitted lives. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. The word contentment in Strong's Concordance, G841, and it means a perfect condition of life in which no aid or support is needed.
Hallelujah.
The word comes from the Greek root word G842, which means sufficient for oneself, processing enough to need no aid or support or independent external circumstances. Practice living a life free of external circumstances where you don't need aid or support to experience the quality of life that God intended for you.
Number six, enter into the place of agreement. The enemy is terrified, probably even petrified, horrified at the thought of two people coming together in a prayer of agreement, because he knows and understands the spiritual power that results from two agreeing on anything. That's why the enemy does whatever he can to keep us from coming into the power of agreement. The enemy fears. That's right. He experiences fear too. Says the demons chasing and binding power of two believers who understand their authority in the Lord, the potential of their agreement, the inevitable result of that union, the enemy understands, because every demon from hell fears the power of two. If there is any wonder why the enemy, the devil himself, all his demons target Christian marriages. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 30, New International Version, it says, how could one man chase 1,000 or two put 10,000 to flight unless their rock had sold them, unless the Lord had given them up?
Here's the point. Never give the enemy
That's right.
A foothold in your marriage, your finances,
That's right.
Your family, or any other part of life. Never do that. Number seven, sow a significant seed for prosperity and success. The significance of your seed is based on what you have left after you've sown the seed. 2 Corinthians 8:12, New King James. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he has not. The implication of the scripture is that your gift should be based on what you have proved, what you've been provided, and not according to what you have at the moment. In fact, what you have at the moment or the lack thereof may be the result of ineffective stewardship. Just suggesting you think about it. See, the enemy understands the benefits and blessings of a believer who takes the step of faith by sowing a spirit-directed, significant seed. He understands that, and he don't like it at all.
That's true.
Hallelujah. Go to haroldherring.com. If you've been blessed by the teaching, click on the button that says sow a seed. Just do what God says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.